Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich in Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from John chapter 6. Verses 1 through 14. This can be found on page 1059 of your pew Bible. This passage describes the sign in which Jesus feeds a multitude of people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, recalling God's provision of manna to Israel in the wilderness through Moses. A reading from John chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
There were 24 hours remaining. 24 hours before our epic student winter weekend extravaganza, the biggest event of the year for our middle school and high school students. This was 2023, so it was 2 years ago, and Lauren and I, my co-leader, we had been planning this for months. This was an event where 350 students and leaders from across Fairfield and Westchester County churches come together at this camp and worship God together and have a blast. We could not wait 24 hours before we were ready to go. And I want to brag from the pulpit for a second. Lauren and I did our homework. We were ready. We planned the logistics. It was perfect. We were going to have a coach bus arrive to Stanwich Church promptly at 3 p.m. And they were going to take us and a neighboring church, 80 of us or so, over to the camp. And it was going to be perfect. And everything went perfectly. The end. No, I'm just kidding. That never happens. So in the middle of a Costco trip for some last minute purchases, Lauren and I got a call from the coach bus company. And we're like, "Oh, that's weird. We haven't really gotten a call from them." And we pick up and they regret to inform us that there has been a mechanical failure of the coach bus that we paid for months ago and that it will be impossible to find another one. And they said, "We're so sorry, but you will not have access to a coach bus. Good luck." And then we argued and like tried to talk to the manager and nothing worked. And so Lauren and I had a big problem on our hands. And we kind of got our like freak out of the way. And then we were kind of laughing at how crazy the situation was. And eventually we just stopped and we said, "All right, let's pray." And so we prayed for God's provision and that he would make a way where there was no way, as far as we could tell. So fast forward 24 hours and God put all the pieces together. We reached out to a whole bunch of rental companies. We got these random vans from all over Connecticut. One of them as far as West Haven. And my dad picked it up and drove across Connecticut and arrived when students were planning to leave, like 5 minutes before they left. So God clearly wove everything together, and you can put the picture up now. This is our group of Stanwich students and leaders that were able to go on this trip, and it was incredible. And when I was finally having time to breathe after the event was done, because it's really crazy and fun, but there's not a lot of downtime, I could see that God had provided in that moment. It was a moment where God made a way when there was no way. We're in a series right now about the signs of Jesus. And there are these moments where Jesus performs these miracles to point to his divine nature. That Jesus is more than just a good teacher or a prophet. He's the Son of God. And so during this Lent series, we're following the signs of Jesus all the way to the cross. And so on Easter Sunday, we'll celebrate his final sign. I guess he did many more, but his resurrection. Now, today, we're slowing down and looking at the only sign that's recorded in all four Gospels outside of the resurrection, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. Now, the story that I shared and the passage that we're in today, it's going to bring up an important question that I want us to wrestle with. Can we truly count on God to be our provider? Can we truly count on God to be our provider when life gets shaky and uncertain? You might hear the story that I shared about the bus trip from hell, which became a bus trip from heaven when God came through, and think to yourself, well, that's a good old-fashioned story of grit and human will and perseverance. Great job, Craig and Lauren. But I want to push back on that and challenge all of us. In your worldview, is there actually space to consider God provider, where God can truly do things beyond what we are capable of in our own strength? And if that's true, then as Christ followers, we operate in trials and in difficult circumstances way differently. In today's story, the disciples witnessed the miraculous, and it's my hope that by the end of our time together worshiping God, our provider, that we will have eyes to see that God is still providing in our midst today, in the storms, in the difficult circumstances that we find ourselves in. So let's begin. We're in John chapter 6, starting in the first verse. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. To give you some context here, Jesus has a massive following at this point. We've been following his signs in chronological order through the book of John, and he's turned water into wine at a wedding banquet. He's healed the sick, and he's teaching with the authority of God. So if you're a Jewish person at this time, you're thinking, wow, is this the Messiah? Is this the anointed one that we've been praying for centuries? I've got to look into this Jesus person. And if you're a Gentile, a non-Jew, you're thinking, okay, this Jesus guy is radical. He's different. And I heard he performed these miracles, and he's speaking as if he were God. I got to check out this Jesus person. And I'm sure if we all lived in Galilee, we would be curious too. Who is this Jesus? And so I want to put us in the scene. Imagine this. There's 5,000 men. It's a gendered word in Greek that's gender specific. 5,000 men. So scholars believe there was about 15,000 to 20,000 people on this mountainside in Galilee. And that's about, for my Big East basketball fans, that's like Madison Square Garden fully packed. And for people that live in this area, that's the population of New Canaan. So this is a massive crowd of people. And in this moment, the disciples are concerned. We learn in Matthew and Mark's account of this story that the disciples are concerned because they consider this a desolate place where they're at. It's getting late, and people are getting hungry. And so they figure we should probably be sending them out so they can go get some food and shelter. Now, I don't need to convince you that there was a problem. Because just imagine this. Has anyone ever been around someone who's hangry? Hangry is when you're hungry and angry at the same time. They usually feed into each other, and it's a really, feed into each other. That's good. It's a really bad scene. Imagine that times 20,000. Okay, so that's why the disciples are understandably concerned, and they're thinking, what are we going to do about this problem? So as these concerns rise, Jesus comes along and asks this really weird question that if I were a disciple, I would be questioning if he was making a joke or something. So in verse 5, lifting up his eyes then and seeing the large crowd, remember 20,000 or so, was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And I'm hearing that, I'm like, what? Like, if I'm in this story, feeding 20,000 people, you don't have really any food that we know of yet, not a lot of money, it's getting dark, we wouldn't have time to go somewhere and bring it back. Jesus, what are you talking about? This sounds like a crazy question for Jesus to ask his disciples, but if you look at the question a little bit deeper, you actually learn a lot about God's nature. I've been reflecting on this all week, and it's really ministered to me that this question, there's something deeper to it. It reveals three things about God's nature. The first one is that Jesus cares. Jesus wasn't just there for the miracles and teaching. He was there for the whole person. Pastor Chuck talked about this last week. Jesus cares about the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. And so Jesus is saying, I want to provide for their physical needs. I want them to eat and have food. And this even challenges us as Christ followers, not just to be concerned for the person's soul that we may have a relationship with and want to share Jesus with, but their physical body as well. And this is why so many Christians are some of the most compassionate and caring people who rally around social issues and humanitarian aid, because they want to reflect the love of God for the whole person. Jesus cares. This question, how are we going to feed these people, shows us that Jesus cares. And it also shows us that Jesus is in control. This was not a brainstorming session with the disciples when Jesus says, how are we going to feed these people? Jesus knew what he wanted to do and what his intentions were. In verse 6, it says, for he himself knew what he was going to do. So I find this encouraging. Even when I don't see a solution in a problem that I have, I can trust that God does. And so to get really practical, a prayer that could reflect the encouragement we find in remembering that Jesus is in control can look something like this. Dear God, I don't know what's going on. I'm overwhelmed. I'm in need financially. My health is deteriorating. Or I'm dealing with a work challenge, a relationship challenge. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you do, God. I trust you, Lord, who is never uncertain and is in control. Jesus cares. He's in control. And lastly, I want to focus on Jesus. He wants us to comprehend the miraculous. Jesus is encouraging Philip at this moment to redirect his gaze. Right now, Philip is looking at the crowd of 20,000, kind of like I'm looking at this group of however many, and the brain synapses are firing. He's like, we only have so much. This isn't going to work. It's impossible. And Jesus is calling Philip to comprehend the miraculous, to redirect his gaze from an impossible situation towards a God who can do the impossible. God loves to invite us into his miraculous works. And we see examples of this in scripture. Jesus, all the signs that we've talked about, Jesus asks servants to fill water in cisterns that Jesus is going to turn to wine. The time where Jesus heals a lame man, he commands that person to get up and walk. And next week, we'll talk about Jesus walking on water. And Jesus calls in Peter to join him. And God's calling each one of us not to keep our faith to ourselves, but to join God in the miraculous, to share our faith with others. That's the beauty of how God works. He doesn't need us to participate. He can do it on his own. He's perfectly capable, but he wants us to be a part of it. So Jesus poses this crazy question about feeding 20,000. And we now recognize that this question, it's actually getting at something a lot deeper. What Jesus is saying to the disciples really is, friends, I'm a God who is in your crisis and cares. I'm a God in your crisis who is in control. I'm a God in your crisis who can do the miraculous. Do you trust me? And in our challenging times, in our mess, how do we respond to that invitation? We get two types of responses from the disciples in one little bucket, and then this little boy who happens to bring his lunch with him. And we can learn a lot from these two reactions when we consider for ourselves, how do we respond to the opportunity we have to trust God to provide in our difficult circumstances? Let's continue in John chapter 6 and verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. I love the Bible because it keeps it real. I'm starting to sound like a youth pastor again. Keeps it real. I love the disciples' responses. Philip sees this crisis situation, is literally talking to Jesus, who can do anything, and he goes, Jesus, it's not gonna work. I counted all the people, I did the math. 20,000 doesn't really, even if we had like half a year's worth of wages, everyone would get a crumb. It's not gonna work. And then you have Andrew, who, to his credit, is a bit more optimistic. You know, he says, all right, I'll take inventory. How about that, Jesus? There's this boy here. He's got some bread and fish, but that's not enough. And I hear the disciples' responses, and I totally get where they're coming from. Like, I'm standing at the pulpit. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came to this earth, he died, he rose from the dead, and he gives us new life now and forever. And yet I find myself questioning God's ability to provide when I can't see a path forward in a tough situation. I get where the disciples are coming from. And for most Christ followers, doubting is a part of our faith walk with God. He doesn't want us to live there, but doubting is an opportunity for us to invite God into it and then build deeper roots of faith on the other side. I empathize with the disciples' reaction. And I wonder if others do too. So that's the disciples. They're like, Jesus, not going to happen. And then we have this boy who shows up with his lunch. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. It's not much, but he gives it without hesitation. He doesn't question whether it's enough or whether he should keep it for himself. In this simple act of obedience, God takes what seems so small and insignificant and uses it to accomplish the miraculous. And it's so humbling when you think about it and inspiring. God took a child's lunch, a small offering, and he used it to bless thousands. And that's the invitation that God gives us. In our difficulties, we can embrace trusting God in the impossible, bring what we have, and then watch God do the rest. Let's see what happens when Jesus takes what seems like not enough and transforms it into more than anyone thought possible. Continuing in verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who was to come into the world. This is the moment. This is where God takes a simple offering and he multiplies it to bless thousands. Now notice, there is nothing special about the quantity or the quality of the offering that's given to Jesus. It's pretty unremarkable. What really matters is about the one who receives it, Jesus. The miracle happens when the little that's given is placed in the right hands, in the hands of Jesus. And as a Christ follower, I've had the privilege of witnessing, mainly with students and their families, so many examples of each one of us taking what little God has given us, humbly passing it along to God, and God does something incredible. And one example that comes to mind is our student service group called Be the Blessing. We meet monthly on Zoom, and students create service project opportunities for the next generation in the local community. And this group has had leader after leader step up and rise to the occasion, but I want to talk about the origins of the group because it looks just like the child who gave up their lunch and God did something incredible. Walker Ladle, at the time he was in eighth grade, now he's Walker, are you a senior? Or senior? Yeah, he's a senior now. It's crazy. Walker came up to Lauren and I, and after confirmation, he had said, you know what? I really gained a lot from confirmation. I feel like God's blessed me in so many ways, and I want to give back. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like. I just feel like I should respond to what God's done for me. And so Lauren and I, as youth pastors, are like, thank you, God. This is so cool. Like, we want to support you in this. And so we met up, we prayed a little bit, we read scripture about serving, and we started thinking about listing needs in the community and organizations that we could partner with. We didn't have a lot to work off of. It was just Walker receiving a nudge from God and responding, and we gave it back to God. Now, 4 years later, this group, Be the Blessing, has grown. It's organized and completed 50 different service projects locally and beyond. And not only have we reached hundreds of people with the next generation stepping up and leading, but this has also been a form of evangelism where a student maybe isn't into the idea of showing up to church. No offense, sometimes people don't feel comfortable at church. I don't agree with that, but I understand. But students are interested in rolling up their sleeves and serving. And so we've had students who aren't Christian, they just want to help out, and they get to meet Jesus through this group. It's incredible. There's a miracle that happens when we take a humble yes. Walker, an eighth grader, a humble yes, sensing that God was calling him to serve others in the community. And literally, God took that and launched it into this student-led next-gen missions ministry that is thriving to this day. That's an incredible testimony of how God can multiply the most humble of offerings that we bring to him. Now, this miracle that we've talked about today, it's not actually about the bread and fish that are multiplied. It's more about the one who does the multiplication. See, Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one who not only created this meal for thousands, but invites all of us to a meal that begins at faith and lasts for eternity. See, this meal of feeding 5,000, it was a foreshadowing of another meal to come, the Last Supper, where Jesus would take bread and break it and turn to his disciples and to all of us and say, "This is my body given for you." The real point of this story isn't just what we give to God. It's about what he has given to us first, himself, the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." You know, we often think about giving to God our time, talent, and treasure, But the reality is, everything that we give, it's simply a response to what God's already given us. Jesus, the bread of life, gave himself up for us, satisfying the deepest needs and offering eternal life. So before we focus on what we can give to God, we have an opportunity to receive the most important gift that's already been presented to us, and it's Jesus himself, the bread of life. Now, in just a moment, during communion, you'll have an opportunity to receive Jesus, the bread of life. As we remember that when there seemed to be no way, Jesus' sacrifice gave us life now and forever. So I'll allow that time to be a time to receive Jesus, the bread of life. But what I want to do now, as I close, is give us an opportunity to respond to God's invitation to give whatever we have to God, that he might multiply it in miraculous ways, just like the child passed along the loaves and fishes in humble obedience, and God blessed thousands. So I invite you to close your eyes, and I want you to think of an area of your life that requires God's help. Think of an area in your life that requires God's help. I want you to open up your palms as a symbol of bringing what you have to this challenging situation. It might feel like a little, it might feel like a lot. Whatever it is, open up your palms, your gifts, your struggles, your hopes, whatever you have to bring to that difficult situation, I invite you to give it over to Jesus. So now I invite you to turn your palms down, releasing all that we bring, this humble offering to our difficult circumstances. We give it to you, Jesus, and we trust in you to multiply it and meet us in our time of need. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you with what little we have. Some of us feel empty. Some of us feel overwhelmed. But we choose to trust you with what we've given to you in your capable hands. You are the bread of life. Satisfy our deepest hunger and use our humble offerings to do the miraculous. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.